Michael, archaeologists have found what could be remains, remnants of some kind of nuclear explosion that occurred a long, long time ago. They have found sheets of glass that could only have been formed by some kind of an explosion. I don't know what it was. Could have been an asteroid, could have been anything. But doesn't Zechariah Sitchin talk about the fact that there were nuclear explosions, that there were wars between the Anunnaki, and that possibly this is what could have happened?
Absolutely. Zechariah Sitchin talks about him and about this as possible situation, but the Bible is very clear about the situation itself. It all depends, I suppose, how the readers of the Bible interpret it. And this is actually one of my most favorite parts of the Bible, because it's just so rich with visual imaginary that the story of Abraham and his nephew Lot and the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, which is absolutely fascinating. One of the amazing things that I find is that, you know, the Old Testament is full of interaction between God and humans. Not just interaction in prayer, but physical interaction, where God comes down and sits down and has some food and wine and water with various humans, and normally accompanied by one or two angels, and then they discuss various things. And in this particular instance with Abraham, God came down and met Abraham accompanied by two angels, and they sat in his tent and they drank some, and they had some food and water and wine, if I'm not mistaken, and then God asked Abraham about, you know, this conspiracy against God by these evil, violent, evil people in Sodom and Gomorrah. And now, first of all, I find it fascinating that God would have to ask Abraham if there was a conspiracy against him by the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, surely God would know this. Secondly, the fact that God then instructed or asked Abraham to tell him that there is at least 1 or 50 righteous people there, and then he'll save Sodom and Gomorrah. And what you start reading in the subtext is that, you know, they had a plan of action here, God and these two angels. And by God, I mean God with a small g, which I believe to be one of the Anunnaki.
Sure.
and his two henchmen, with fierce weapons that are, you know, described in the Bible and also in great detail in the Sumerian tablets. Fierce weapons of destruction that could smite hundreds of people, if not more, at a time. And so what happens next is God says, okay, well, clearly you can't prove to me that there is one righteous person in Sodom and Gomorrah. This is the excuse that I was looking for. I'm going to send my angels in there, and I'm going to destroy these violent, evil people because they are conspiring against me. Now, what these people were conspiring and how they could possibly conspire against an almighty God is also beyond me. I don't quite understand that, you know.
What were they trying to do?
Yeah, what were they trying to do? My take on this is that I believe that those cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, and there were more, by the way, in the whole valley that those two cities were in, those people might have been part of an early resistance movement to the gods, to Enlil and his henchmen and Marduk, or whoever these Anunnaki gods and descendants were. They were causing havoc and a lot of hardship and frustration among humankind, and they started forming resistance pockets against the God of vengeance and brutality, which, you know, the Old Testament is full of evidence of. And God didn't like this, this resistance activity going on. He needed to take care of this. But because we're not talking about the God, the supreme being of the universe here, we're talking about an advanced deity with a small g. He needed a spy, a man on the inside. And that man came in the form of Lot, Abraham's nephew, who was planted very specifically to go and live in Sodom and feed back with information to Abraham about the activities and potential conspiracies against God. And this was a wonderful pivotal moment in the early days of the Bible. And remember that Abraham is the founding father of four of the great religions of the world.
Right.
Judaism, Christianity, Islam, and also the Baha'i faith. They all look at Abraham as their founding father. So this is an interesting beginning that all of them should look at and analyze this as deeply as they can. So what happens next is God disappears back into the clouds, and the two angels go and lo and behold, who's waiting for them at the gates of Sodom? Lot is waiting for them.
There he is, exactly.
Yeah, there he is waiting for them. And he takes them to his house. He makes them as comfortable as possible. And before you could count to ten, the house is surrounded by a number of very angry people saying, "We know who you have in sight. We know those two guys have come here to do us harm. We want to bring them out so we can deal with them." And Lot starts to argue with them and say, "No, they're not here to do you harm. Take my 14-year-old daughter instead. Do with her what you want." I mean, these must have been very powerful gods to make a guy want to offer up his 14-year-old daughter. And then eventually they don't sort this problem out, and these two angels come out and they smite all these people around the house, and they basically kill them and make them blind and incapacitate them with these fierce weapons of destruction.
And which could have been laser guns or something.
Well, exactly. You know, your guess is as good as mine, but they were certainly some form of advanced technological device that we might know of. I certainly don't, but, you know, the military people might know more about that than you and I. They certainly had the capacity to do that. Two guys just wiped out, maybe 500 people or how many might have gathered around the house. I don't know. And then they say, well, this is the evidence we needed. These are violent, disgusting people, and they conspire against God. We have to destroy them all. And they tell Lot to take his stuff, get all his family out of there, go across the plateau, hide behind the mountains, because they're now going to destroy the city and all the other cities with it, because they're filled with violent, evil people conspiring against God. And you know the story that followed. It's very well documented in the Bible how they destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and the descriptions are so graphic and so incredible that you could only really describe them today as nuclear explosions.
Do we know where Sodom and Gomorrah is exactly today?
There are certain people that have made claims. I've put them on a map in my book, the latest research that I could find. Where there have been these various, as you said, fragments of glass and melted rock discovered that could have only been done by some astronomical explosion and incredible heat that could certainly come from a nuclear explosion or a comet or an asteroid. Now, we know that that part of the world was not hit in the past 200,000 years by a comet or an asteroid, so it must have been something else.